Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, I see you working hard. Wanna let you know I'm proud. Let you know that I admire what you do. Don't know if I need to reassure you. My life will be purposeless without you. If I want it, when I ask you, you inspire me to be better. You challenge me for the better. Sit back and let me pour out my love letter. Let me help you. Take off your shoes. Untie your shoestrings. Take off your cufflinks. Don't you wanna eat food? Let me feed you. Let me run your bath water. Whatever you desire. I'll fly ya. Sing you a song. Turn the game on. I'll brush your hair. Help you put your durag on. Wanna put her up. Making sure that I'm doing my part. Boy, is there something you need me to do? If you want it, say the word. I know whatever I'm not fulfilling, another woman is willing. I'm gonna fulfill you, my body and spirit. I promise ya. I keep myself up. Remain the same chick you fell in love with. I keep it tight. I keep my figure right. I'll keep my hair fixed. Keep rocking the hottest outfit. When you come home, they tap me on my shoulder. I'll roll over, baby.
Hey, 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 good evening. It's about that time. You know what I'm doing, calling people into the show, as usual. I need everybody to tell me. I need everybody sometime to tell me ahead of time. I appreciate that enough. You tell me ahead of time. Call into the show, then I don't have to go on. Disrupt the show you know, and stuff like that. But anyway, we gotta do. You know, welcome to the Been Real with Jay Sean online podcast. Excuse me. Every time I start talking, then I gotta clear my throat and do all this other bullshit. That's the devil. We got a good show in store. I got a good show in store for you. I gotta call one more person. Okay. It was 8:05, so I got 5 minutes before I gotta call somebody in, and we got a couple of, well, we got a whole night to do what we do. How's everybody doing tonight? If you in the north and east part of the world, then you cold as hell. We had snow today. And if you in the northern eastern part of the, of this world, United States, then you know what I'm talking about. It's cold outside. Like it should be 100 people on my phone lines, because I swear, I know nobody ain't going out. It's too damn cold outside. I've been waiting all day. The last 2 weeks, sorry about that. The last 2 weeks, I've really been on point and ready for the show to start. Behind the scenes, I just was talking to my nephew and Shadi. We was having our own deep conversation. Man, my throat. Let me take a sip of water. This might help. Apologize for that. We was having a deep conversation behind the scenes. And a lot of times when I do my shows, but however, which way I'm feeling or the vibes I get from the day or conversations. And then everybody know before the show, I take a shower and I get my thoughts together, hot water, you know. And then I was in the shower and I had the hot water on me, and all of a sudden I just got sad as hell. Like, I just got, you ever just get sad? I mean, really sad. I just got really sad. I got sad. I was like, no, like, feel like crying or some shit. Like, so sad. Like, and it just came over me. I was thinking about. So I try to think about, because everybody, you know, we don't really talk about it too much, but it's a big thing in the world, and a lot of people like me, I deal with depression, anxiety, and panic attacks, and a lot of people do. I even, believe it or not, I have a psychiatrist and a therapist. Sometimes you have more psychiatrists and therapists than you really know. It might be your friend. It might be your brother. It might be your sister. It might be your uncle, your aunt. They therapists too, and you they therapists. But just like an overwhelming power came over me of depression. I was in the bath and I'm in the shower. I'm trying to fight back tears, and I'm like, damn, like what's wrong, Jay? And I'm like one day all this got to come to an end. And I'm not really talking about life. I'm not really talking about life because that's reality. I'm talking about situations. I'm talking about behavior. I'm talking about things like jealousy and hatred, envy, larceny, malice. I'm talking about the negative things in life, negative shit. Because it seemed like so many people out here is worrying about the negative points of this world. Like, people don't understand what's going on. I mean, like, it's real. Like, I don't know how many, I hope everybody heard of AI. Most people know about it. If you don't, you should. Google AI. I'm going to tell you. Most people know AI is something. You could go on Google right now and go to AI and tell AI that you're writing a short story and you want it to be like, you wanted to start off like, I fell and I scraped my knee. And AI will be like, it was this kind of day and you fell and you scraped your knee, this and that and this and that. It'll tell a whole story. Like, yo, AI, they talking about cloning people and shit like that. Like, yo, AI is big right now. Me and Dre was talking like you don't even have to write books anymore. You could do AI. It'll write a book. Say, yo, I want you to write a story about a guy. He was married and then they broke up and he went out. And then AI will write the whole shit. It'll write everything for you. This world that we living in is so much stuff going on. To read, you got to be intelligent, you got to know what's going on. Listen, let me tell you something. COVID was just a test run for what we in store for. They was just practicing with COVID. And I don't want to get too much big into that. But if you on the internet, which everybody should be in the world, look what's going on in the internet. I seen a boxing match the other day with a real person against a robot. They already got robots in New York. Soon, I'm telling you, check this out. I might not even be here no more. I might be gone from here. You might be gone. We might be all gone, but in one day, we going to see it's going to be robot husbands and robot wives. Like me, I used to be in the driving fields, bus driver and all that. Soon they're going to have robot bus drivers. Yo, Sports Illustrated, everybody knows Sports Illustrated, mostly male, guys I'm talking to. You remember how big we was on Sports Illustrated in the 80s. They put Bruce Jenner on it when he won all the gold medals. They put Michael Spitz, Muhammad Ali. Then they had the once a month, they had the female centerfold. Sports Illustrated, they went out of business today and had to let all the employees go. More Sports Illustrated is a magazine that's worldwide known in the world. They got computers and machines taking over their jobs. Why you think rich people all over the world, like the billionaires, they building bunkers and shit underground for what's about to happen? The Chinese people and the Japans, yo, they got shit they building, yo. I know it's people out here right now that say they go out in the streets and they feel like it's something in the air that's making us sick. I've been sick for like 2 or 3 weeks right now. just out of the blue. I know family members who's sick. I know friends that's sick. It's like shit going on. But the main thing that I'm saying is, and people out here worrying about the wrong thing. Yo, it's a, what's that word? Equipolates. It's a lot of stuff going on. It's one thing I'm happy of, though. I got day ones. If you don't got day one friends, friends that you've been friends with since you've been like 7, 8, and 9 years old, it's a lot for you. Oh, one second. Let me call somebody. Keep texting me and tell me to call. Pardon me. One second.
Hello.
Okay, we got him. All right. No, we on the show. If you don't got day one friends, people you've been friends with, I mean people who was friends with you when you didn't have nothing. Like I got friends who knew me when I was just like a little Jehovah's Witness boy. If you don't got friends nowadays, day one friends, it's about to get real hard out here in this world. And like I said a few minutes ago, the COVID-19, that was just a test run. People on podcasts and people on radio, they don't want to hear you talk like that. They don't want to tell you. They don't want you to hear them tell you that it's shit in the air. They don't want you to tell them that it's shit going on that you don't know about, that's bigger than us. It's people making shit right now. That's why I keep saying COVID, that was just a test run to see what it worked. Wait till the next shit they got, like Japan and China and them over there. They over there building real shit. It's billionaires that's building bunkers underground. And we out here, most people, we worrying about bullshit. Who cheating on who? And who doing this and who doing that? Man, life is different. Listen, I'm telling you, today was a rough day for me. I went through a lot of shit today. And I'm sure everybody has bad days, but I'm talking about mine. I had a bad day mentally, not physically, mentally in my own head. I be depressed. I have panic attacks. I deal with anxiety. The age now when you wake up and every fucking day something is wrong with you and you don't know why. And you change your habits, you change your eating habits, and you start working out, and you go to doctors, and you try to lose weight, and you try to do what's right. But I don't know. I got to call somebody for this. One second. This is really starting to kill me. I think I got to interrupt the show to call people. One second. I'll be right with you. And tonight is a night. Tonight is a night I really want people to press one, but not now, not yet. I still got a lot to talk about. Black media is what are we doing, what I'm doing. And everybody's black, not a podcast. Black media is needed. I get up on this podcast, and I do it for a reason. I don't get up on this podcast did it go through? I don't get up on the podcast every week just to have people arguing about who cheating on who and who fucking who and all that. I don't really do that. I don't know what happened. Just dragging my party right here. Calm. Wait a minute. I'm gonna have to switch apps because I can't keep doing this, interrupting the show. So blog talk is really doing giving me problems. All right, back to what I'm talking about. what I'm saying, or wherever we was at. It's more things going on in this world. Pay attention to what's going on. Stop dealing with the negatives and the jealousy and the envy and stuff like that. Because there's bigger things going on in the world than what you know about. It's bigger shit going on. We don't know about it if you don't see it, if you're too busy dealing with jealousy and hatred and envy and all that. You don't see it. I'm telling you, I figured out today, and everybody always said, but you got to live every day like it's your last day. In relationships, I swear, let me tell you, I wish everybody in the world had a good relationship. I really do. And sometimes I don't really like talking about relationships and all that and fuck love. I don't really like doing that, but it's a reality. It's reality. And it's all around all of us where people in relationships and people cheat. We had a girl on last week, remember, who said she was messing with two guys for 5 years. She might be listening tonight. I had a guest coming on. It was supposed to come on at 8:30, but she backed out at the last minute. But that's okay. It don't matter to me because the show must go on. If there's anything in the world I could do, I could talk, and I could keep people's attention. God bless me with that gift. But the girl on here last week was messing with two guys for 5 years, and it was a good ass show. Yo, it was a good show. Everybody mixed in. People pressed one and we participated. I was happy. And the next day, everybody was talking. It was a good ass show. But listen, nobody said nothing about her vagina. I gave it a name. But I don't think nobody else caught where I was going. 5 years. Having sex with two different guys. Now, me personally, I don't want to toot my horn or nothing like that, but I mean, I think I do a good job when I'm having sex. I really think I do. And in my whole life and all relationships I've been in, like, don't get me twisted. I'm not trying to say I'm Long Dong Silver or got the biggest penis in the world. You know, not at all. I'm average, but I know how to use what I got and a bunch of other shit. But what I'm saying is, this don't even have to be for me. This could be for all the men listening. You know what you do to your woman or your girlfriend's vagina. You know. You know what you do, whether you beat it up or whether you make love to it, whether you caress it, no matter what you do to your girl or to your wife, fiance, vagina, imagine if she was sharing that with somebody else. Now think about what I'm saying. Think about, I'm talking to the men right now. Think about the way you do your woman when you have sex with her one time a week or two times a week, three times a week, whatever, the work you put in. When you having sex with her and y'all sweating and y'all talking dirty to each other, and then she got orgasm after orgasm after orgasm, then you finally come and then it's over and you laying down and she laying down and she tell you, yo, you fucked the shit out of me, and you telling her, yo, how many times you came, and y'all talking like that, and just think about for 1 minute, she sharing that pussy with somebody else. See, that's the kind of shit that I think about. Putting it down, you putting it down, but and then she going out to somebody else and they putting it down. I mean, it's going on every day. Don't think it's not. The shit is going down. What they say, a woman could run faster with her dress up than a man can with his pants down. Or what they say, a woman, what's the other one? A woman could look down. Oh, that one got to come back to me. I can't think of it. But anyway, relationships. Me and my nephew was talking earlier. I was at the fucking laundromat, and me and my nephew was talking about certain shit. And I was telling him how three times in my life I went somewhere. A woman left me. I went home, and the house was empty where a woman had left me. For real, no lie. One of my daughters, I came home and the cell phone was on the porch. Not the cell phone, a cordless house phone was on the porch. I went in the house and she was gone with my daughter. They was gone. Another girl, I think her name was Tisha. I went to pick her up from work. I'm blowing the horn. I'm texting her. She wasn't answering. I went upstairs. Yo, she was living there. She had a room, one room. I went in there. Yo, I had the key. I went in. The house was empty. She was gone. My last marriage, my ex-wife, well, that was kind of strange because I left for the weekend. But when I came home, the house was empty. Why I said all that is because, like, I've been through shit in my life. And y'all want to know why I'm Mr. Fuck Love. They probably saying, damn, what's wrong with Jay? People leave him. You think I'm a bad person? I'm far from a bad person. I'm a good person. a lot of times the good guys come in last. Let me hold up. Let me it's 8:30. I know people. Everybody be like, Jay, tell a story. Tell a story. Like, people text me, tell us a story. Tell a story. But I like to tell stories about life so people who can know about me. And anytime somebody want to come on and join the conversation, just press 1. If not, I'm just going to be talking because my guest backed out tonight. So I'm going to tell a story about, this was about 1985. I don't talk about this much, but at that time, yes, I was a pimp at that time. I light my cigar. I was a pimp. It was 1985 or 86. I was living in the Alexander Hamilton Hotel. The Alexander Hamilton Hotel, every town got one, but in Patterson, that's where all the prostitutes and pimps, criminals and bank robbers and everybody, that's where everybody stayed in Alexander. I lived in Alexander Hamilton on the third floor in room 309. And I had one lady at that time. I was a pimp. I had one lady. Every night at 8 o'clock, well, she started like about 6, getting dressed and putting makeup and all that shit on. I never understood all that makeup stuff, but she put on that makeup stuff. She was mixed with Spanish and, no, Argentina, whatever. Anyway, she was beautiful. And I had one woman. She was my only woman. She was my main. They called the bottom woman. The bottom mean the top. So she was my bottom. But I only had one. So every night we was living in a hotel. I think we was paying $25 a day or $75 a week. Ain't that some shit? In 1985 or 86, I was staying in a hotel paying $25 a day. Or $75 a week in a hotel. That's the hustler's life. So anyway, about 6 o'clock, she would start getting dressed, putting makeup on. Take her like 2 hours, like 8 o'clock. She'd be dressed, 8 o'clock. We go downstairs. I get in my car. I drive her to this bar. I done talked about this bar 1,000 times. What's the name of this bar? The Orchid Room. The Orchid Room on Park Ave in Patterson, New Jersey. I take her to the Orchid Room at 8 o'clock. She was going in. She was dancing. And, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to lie to you, dancing, whatever else, you know, go on. Like, you know, they have private rooms and all that shit. But every night I take her to the bar, 8 o'clock. She get off at 2 o'clock. Sometimes I picked her up. Sometimes she got a ride home. If people from Patterson know, the Alexander Hamilton is nowhere from the Orchid Room where the Checkers is now. That's maybe like a 5-minute walk. So anyway, this one night, you know what I mean? I took her there at 8 o'clock. Back then, don't forget, in 85, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have beepers. We didn't have shit. All we had was house phones. So I took her to the bar like I always do, dropped her off at the bar 8 o'clock. I know she get off at 2. Sometimes she used the bar phone to call me, you know, whatever. I'm in the hotel. I'm probably in here smoking, watching TV because That's what you do. Like when you a pimp, you your own best friend. So I'm sitting in the room and I'm chilling this night and I doze off. I wake up, it's almost 2 o'clock. So I know she should be coming in now, you know, about 2 o'clock, because I didn't get a call from the bar to pick her up, so she probably got a ride. So it's about 10 minutes to two. And, you know, I get up and I'm ready. She 2 o'clock. She usually come in about 2:10, 2:15. So I'm waiting, you know, in them little hotels, the Alexander Hamilton, the hotel, it's a bed and it's a TV and it's a round coffee table and a bathroom. It's nothing spectacular. But I'm sitting at the coffee tables. Back then you could smoke in hotels. So I'm sitting at the table, it's about 2:20, 2:10, 2:20, 2:30. She still ain't home yet. Oh, it's okay. 2:40, 2:50. Now I'm getting a little nervous. 3 o'clock. I go downstairs. I get in my car. I drive to the bar. It closed at 2, so nobody really there but the owners. But, you know, back then, there's people outside. So I get out the car, I'm asking people, have they seen her? You know, I go in the bar, have they seen her? Nobody's seen her. Okay. I go back home. She might be home when I get there. I go back home. I go up, I go stop at the front desk. I ask the guy at the hotel desk. I got any notes in? I got any, you know, that's how we had to do it back then. Somebody would call the hotel and leave a message for you. And when you went to the hotel, they'd give you the paper with the message. I asked the guy at the front desk, I got any messages? Nah, no messages. Cool. I go up to my room. She not there. Now I'm a little bit more nervous. It might be like going on 3:15, 3:30. What people don't tell you in that lifetime is that females is dealing with all different kind of people, businessmen, Wall Street, hood people, criminals, rapists, pedophiles, killers. You know what I mean? That's part of that lifestyle. And if you don't accept it or realize it, then you're crazy. So it's about 3:30. She's still not there. 3:30, 3:45. She on 4 o'clock. I'm crazy now. Now, I'm really scared. What happened to her? What I'm going to tell her peoples is they going to want to kill me. I start calling hospitals to see if, you know, they got anybody by that name. I'm calling the police station. 4:30. She's still not home. I'm looking out the hotel window. I can see Church Street. I can see the street. I'm looking out the hotel window. I'm going downstairs in my car. I get in my car. I drive around. I'm looking around. I go back to the bar. Everybody gone. I'm driving around different places that I know where she go. I come back home. She's still not home. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Yo, I'm not built for this. Five o'clock, 5:30 come. Now I'm beyond scared. I'm sitting at the coffee table in my hotel room and tears is running down my face. I'm thinking the worst, like she got raped. Somebody kidnapped her. Somebody chopped her up. She in she chopped up somewhere in a shoebox, or they chained up in a room or beat up or stabbed to death. I'm scared. I'm crying. I'm going crazy. I'm going down to the front desk, asking if they any messages for me. Nothing. has said, I'm done. 6 o'clock come in the morning. It's desperation now. I'm ready to pack up and just leave. Because I know something bad is coming for me if something bad came to her. I run downstairs. I ask the front desk, do I got any messages? They say no. I come back upstairs, snatching my shit out the dressers, and I don't know what to do. And then I look out the window again. I see a white Cadillac pull up. A nice, brand new Fleetwood Cadillac pull up. White. White. I look out the window, the door, passenger door open. It's her. My heart could have dropped. She laughing and joking and talking to whoever in the car, I don't know. But it's her. She closed the car door. She walking toward the hotel room door. What do you think I do? Hold up, let me take a shot on this. For real. I see her head toward the hotel door. I snatch off all my clothes, my shirt, my pants, my hat, my boots, my socks, shoes, whatever I had on, my underwear. I jump in the bed butt naked. I pull the covers over my head, I turn to the side, and I act like I'm sleeping. Come in the hotel room door, you know what I mean, and she's calling, you know, she's calling. I don't want to say, y'all might don't understand, but anyway, She calling my name. Jay Sean. I'm knocked the hell out. Like I can't wake up. Oh, man. She jump on the bed. She's shaking me. I turn over. Now, don't forget. I just been going crazy all night long, crying and calling hospitals and calling morgues and calling everybody. But she don't know it. I got a little bit of game. But she's in the bed and she's shaking me. Wake up, I turn over, you know, like I'm sleeping, like wiping my left eye. Like, yo, what's up? What time is it? Like it's like 6 something in the morning. But look. Boom, she put. She said, I went to when the club was over, it was these Italian guys and they wanted a couple of girls to come there for a bachelor party. And she said they was paying us to come there. She said, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to call you or nothing, so I just went and did it. She said, but look, she opened up her pocketbook and dumped all this money, like $700 on the bed. This 1985. So $700 in one night is a lot of damn money. She dumped all the money on the bed. She said, I got $700. All right, I'm like, look, listen. I get up, I go in the bathroom, I throw some water on my face, I come back. I said, now tell me everything that happened tonight and how you got the $700. Because I'm going to be real angry if it was $7,000 in and you only came home with $700. What's the moral of that story, y'all? What is the moral? The moral of the story is everything ain't what it seemed to be. She probably thought, to this day, she probably thought I was knocked out sleeping, didn't give a damn. But only I knew that from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, I probably aged 10 years worrying about what happened or where that chick was at. And she never knew. And that's the story. I'm sticking with it. It's 8:47. Let's do this. It's 8:47. I got some topics. If anybody want to try one of my topics. I'm not gonna lie to nobody. I got some medicine from. I told you, went to the doctor today. I got some medicine, and they said it would make you sleepy. And they said, especially if you mix it with alcohol, it will make you very sleepy. And of course, I'm mixing it with alcohol. So I'm gonna take a quick break. We're going to come back. I'm going to see if we can tackle the topics or anything anybody want to talk about. You know what I mean? And we'll take it from there. If not, we're going to shut the engine down. If you want to make a donation to the show, it's $JASHONJ. That's $JASHONJ. Let me cue up a song real quick while we take a quick break. What y'all want to hear? I'm gonna play a song that this is a song that mean a lot to me. But we'll be right back. We want to talk some relationship. I want to talk some relationship shit when I get back. I really do. I want to talk some relationship talk. That's what we need to do. I appreciate the people that's on the phone lines, the people that's listening. I really do. I'm a little bit off cue tonight. Like I said, I got a lot of shit going on. My anxiety and depression, and a lot of shit going on with me. But the show must go on. So everybody stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back after this. We're going to do what we do, what we do, what we do. Let's see where we at right now. Okay, let's see a little Mary. We'll be right back after this with Jay Sean on the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean podcast.
Sure that you look to see a brighter day.
some Mary J. Blige. I really do. I really told that story to try to, it might go over some people's head, but it was a reason behind that. It might not hit you right now. It might hit you later. But it will hit you. Thing in the world is not what it seems. And there's bigger things out here than what we know. I mean, it's just bigger things. I can't wrap my head around the things that's going on in the world in the way that people we dealing with them. Not only me, other people. people like to say, like, how long you been doing your podcast? Like, and they're like, yo, I've been doing this shit 3 years. You got to stay consistent. Oh, I just thought about what I was telling you before when I said, a woman can run faster with her dress up than a man can with his pants down. The other one is a woman could look down longer than a man could look up. That's my that was the other one. I don't know, it just came to my brain. But we approaching the 9 o'clock hour. I want to try to touch on some of the topics in the 9 o'clock hour. But if anybody want to participate or something, you got to press 1. If not, I'm just going to keep talking. But if you got something you want to talk about, promote, whatever you want to do, it's all right. Me and my friends, we getting ready to start a documentary of our rise from childhood to adults. Things we went through, because we all 80s babies. I mean, no, we not 80s babies, but we lived in the 80s era. But a lot of people, I believe, listening is 80s babies. They don't know how important the 80s was. The 80s was a time when, like, life was free. Cocaine was a casual drug. B-boying was a way of life. The beginning of the 5% nation, I mean, for people stateside. So anyway, we getting ready to do a documentary. It's going to be on YouTube. We're going to do a documentary of our lives growing up, 17th Ave. I'm looking forward to it. Man, somebody trying to call me. That was a mistake, definitely. So anyway, I don't know. If anybody got anything to say, anybody want to join in, you got to press 1. Tonight might be the first night that we close out early. Because I got some medicine that was supposed to make me sleepy. And they said if I drink with it, would really, and I'm really feeling the effects of it. And I definitely don't want to talk and say nothing I'm not supposed to. So anybody want to join in? Anybody want to press 1? You can talk about anything. Anything you want to talk about. Talk about your life. Talk about your relationship. Talk about what's going on with you right now. Let me see. I'm trying to look at the phone lines and see. No, we don't really have nobody want to participate. I'm trying to think of is anything else I want to get off my mind. If not, we're gonna close out. Like I said, the medicine is really doing a number on me. I know what I'll do. We gonna do Texas out. This is what we gonna do. We gonna play one more song. We gonna come back if anybody anything they wanna talk about, anything they wanna say. we'll deal with that. If not, we'll move on to next week and a better week. Let me see. Somebody should have something to talk about tonight. I know. That's a fact. Okay, let's take this quick break. We'll be right back. That's Monica. That's my girl. Let me see. We got a caller right here. 8555, you live.
Yeah, peace.
What's good, bro?
Yeah, just go ahead.
Nothing much, just just life, that's all.
Yeah, I was listening to you earlier and you were saying that you was depressed, and then when you was talking about what you was thinking about, you know, I can concur with you. I can understand why you was depressed if you, you know, thinking about things that, like, you know, possibly can happen in the way, you know, information you'd have received about, you know, all the negative stuff that's, you know, possibly gonna happen, you know. So I could, you know, that would make me depressed, really thinking about that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and I don't even, you know, suffer from that, but it's America, you know, which, you know, I like to call the pimp, is just, you know, pimping everybody to the highest degree, you know. And like you said, was saying that we be distracted, you know, with everything that's going on around us. It's hard to focus on things that are important because you got so much going on during the day. You know, you trying to, you know, you go to work, you come home from work, you know, then you have your own personal stuff to do. Then, you know, you have family members in need, and there's so much, and then there's only 24 hours in a day, and 8 of them normally is gone, and then sleep time. I mean, really, life itself, if not managed properly, can be depressing. It can be depressing because of the way that things are designed here in America. Because I want to stop using they and start placing it where it's at. Like, as so-called Americans, we, you know, are so-called Americans, because all of us are being affected. All of us are being affected by the lack of humanity, you know. And we've getting caught up, you know, where we're so separated based on colorism, based on Latino, Black, White, you know. So we not even banding together as human beings and working together to make the planet better, let alone this country. You know, it's, for me, the new information that I received allow me to look at things from a different lens now. I'm no longer looking at it as a Black-White problem. It's a humanity problem that humanity need to be rescued, and the people who are capable, it's like we need to be able to work together on an equal basis, not with somebody's feeling superior. Go ahead.
Is that gonna help Black relationship and Black love and Black families in the end?
I mean, we got to do it simultaneously. We got to work on love itself, and then when we think about Black, there's a lot of trauma that is based around being Black. I hear people from the lowest levels of being Black to the highest levels of being Black still talking about the same trauma. And it don't seem like money even make the difference in some cases, because you're still feeling inferior. So if you're in an inferior position, it's hard to love when it's hard to love yourself. when you feel like you less than. So how can you really love yourself when you don't feel you're adequate? So it's a thing that has to be a dual concept. I like to look at it as our relationship with America, which we need to it's like a marriage that we need to be divorced from, and our relationship with each other that we need to constantly work on repairing and improving. And it has to start from each of us as an individual, where we do our individual work, where we start working on our own self and our own shortcomings so that we can be the best we could be on the highest level that we are capable of being. And if we do that, by the time the transition is made, we'll be in good shape. You know what I mean? So I hear that question quite often.
In the end, I don't mean to cut you off, but in the end, will it help black love and black relationships?
I just told you what it would. It would, and I told you how it would, because if we don't work on ourselves as individuals, nothing can help us. You know what I mean? Only thing it could do is put us on a level position when it comes to dealing with America. That's what it can do. It can put us on an equal position, whereas now we playing a chess game. But now we got checkers trying to play chess. At least once we start doing it, you know, as a state in each 50 states, now we become chess on chess. We're playing a chess game, and now we got all our pieces, as well as America having all its pieces. So that's always been something that, as a black person, most black people say, it's a lack of equality. Most black people say it's too many white people in positions and not enough black people in positions. So that's the colorism that, you know, separated. So if Europeans are a family, then black people are a family, then why do we be governed by another family and not govern our own family? That's out of nature. That's like trying to say a panther should be raising a lion, you know, should be governing over a lion. Every animal in history and in jungle or whatever, they govern themselves. Lions be amongst lions. Panthers be amongst panthers. They govern them, and they maneuver in that manner. We're the only ones that are being governed by someone else, and then we have numerous problems that we say, how can we fix? And the first thing is to start fixing the major problem that affect us that many of us realize because we try to find a way to rectify it. You got so many people say, "Look, I'm gonna become a council person. I'm gonna become the mayor, so we can fix the problems." But we got council people, we got mayors, and we still had the same problems because at the end of the day, the government that is designed, it was designed to keep us out and to keep us in the position that we are. And the information that I've been so fortunate to come across, it explains why. It explains because technically black don't exist legally. It's not a legal standing. It's not a political standing. So it takes away from us. And mind you, I love black people and I love black. But if it comes to a point of being able to say, okay, if I can change I can change the way that I'm dealt with through America by having a state that I call myself a Moroccan Moor, then I'm willing to do that, and we can still call ourselves black. But if there's a contract that says, okay, if you're a Moroccan Moor, you can build your own state and you can be sovereign. You can be independent of America. Why wouldn't I or why wouldn't we want to do that? Why would we continue to stay under a regime that has mistreated us at every step? And we know it, and we know we've been mistreated.
That's true. Hold on, Shai. Hold on.
Go ahead.
3-3-2-4, you live.
Yo. You hear me?
Yeah.
Y'all throwing out listening to noise, right?
Nah, you good. That's all right, Dre. Dre, everybody. Everybody know Dre. You've been missing in action for a minute.
Yeah, yo, that comment is, did y'all hear about, well, actually, I just found out that Biden is allowed to be on the ticket for election against Trump. But I heard that it's a strong possibility that Barack Obama's wife is going to replace Biden on the ticket. My question to y'all is, do you think we should come together the same way we came together for Barack Obama? Do you think we'll come together for his wife to become president of the Trump in 24?
I haven't heard that, but me personally, I would have to hear more of, you know, what her plans would be. Even though, let me start just by saying, to me, voting don't mean shit. But I will say I would have to take time and listen to more of her views and hear how she talk and what she want to do and stuff like that. How about you, Shai?
I mean, I'm still, right now, I'm more convinced that our way is to form our own government and not to try to even deal with the American government. I don't even think at this point, you know, that's just my view. My view is I'm willing to try something we never tried before in none of our lifetimes. Already in our lifetime, we've seen a person of color, black, whatever you want to call it. The only thing that would be different is it would be a woman. And we saw when Obama was in office how much pushback he received and how disrespectful he was being treated, basically from the way it appeared to be is because he was black. But as you said, things ain't always what they appear to be. So we seem to be, it appears that they're fighting against, that America dislikes us because we're black and they're white, but with the information that I receive, it goes deeper than that. It goes to the point that with us claiming the nationality that our ancestors claimed prior to the, you know, Naturalization Act, where we became so-called protected by America, then we As Gamoras, we get the chance to become a new people that none of us never seen in our lifetime, rather than having black and being tied to African American and being tied to slavery and being tied to all of the trauma that comes with it, all of the disadvantages that comes with it. So for me, I would say, much as I respect Michelle Obama, I'd rather see her form a state in Chicago and be over that, because she got the expertise that we need to have our own government. That's my view.
Okay,
but like at the end of the day, like that's understandable, but I don't think it's enough time for that to happen before, you know, election that is going down, you know, this year. So, like, to try to get to a different point, like, do you think that a black woman has the power to outdo Trump?
I think so, based on the two things you just mentioned. One, being a woman. Two, being black. So all that would do is just rally those of us as black people to get out and vote. And, you know, she'll get in office and then we'll see what happens then. But based on the way I see it, I mean, I'm different with my view now. And I've been kind of feeling this way for quite some time, that the American government hasn't been working for us so-called black people the way we need it to work for us. It's always been something missing, and any of us can justify that. Any of us can say there's always been something missing, no matter who's been in office.
But, let me ask you a question. When do we blame ourselves? At what point do we blame ourselves? Because at the end of the day, most people teach themselves about ancestors. At the end of the day, what happened to our ancestors was a long, long, long time ago. And much respect to them, but I feel the more you draw on the past, I think it's always smart, very educated black men that know too much about the past, where it destroyed their future. Because now they go against the formula it's a formula to go through when you're in the United States. Go to school, go to college, get a job. That's the formula that it takes for success. But when you start learning about your history and things like that, I actually believe that that's built here to hold black people back. Because how are you going to go forward if we keep going back?
And I agree with you as far as, okay, going back. Because if you look, when you drive the car, you got the rearview mirror, all right? It's a small mirror. But the back is just as big as the front. You know what I mean? The back window is just as big as the front window. So your past ties into your future and your present, because if you don't know your past, you're doomed to repeat it in the present and the future. So,
right, but as parents, most parents, well, not all parents, but the parents that are responsible parents, they have children and has something for their children, right? Has a foundation for their children to have a good education, a good home, a good chance at life. So what I'm trying to say is like, so my kids, my aunt, well, I don't have that much, but let's say I have more than I have, and I could give them another chance at life. Like, my ancestors, the ancestors went through, ain't really got nothing to do with them. Besides, I bring them here. I prepare this for them to succeed. So that's what I'm trying to get to the point, like, how does the past affect you if it happened so long ago?
I mean, I just told you that. Yeah, I respectfully disagree because of the fact that at the end of the day, the way you just said, there's a system set up within America. Now, due to the past and what happened in the past is what allowed that system to be set up the way it is. And that system has been set up. And don't get me wrong, people succeed financially. We got people who are millionaires. You know what I mean? Millionaires. So success is defined really based on individuals, depending on what you mean to succeed. If you got $1 million and you still unhappy, did you really succeed? And you can leave your children good material things, but you didn't teach your children good characters. You know what I mean? Being honest, being loyal, being respectful, things of that nature. Those are important aspects.
I mean, that comes with a stable household, to be honest with you. If you're saying I gave my kids a good foundation, all that you just said comes with that.
I'm not sure
you gave them a good foundation and let them just like be disrespectful and ungrateful for what they have.
Okay. So all right. So what you're saying, based on what you see around you,
the system is set up. The system that you're talking about is setting up for the people that choose to rob, kill, steal, and corrupt. That's what the system is set up for. You can't go kill 30 people and then turn around to the, oh, Ryan Ryan got an education. No, you don't got an education because the path you chose or the parents that had you did not prepare a good place. Now, there are some that slipped between the cracks, you know, that got good parents, but the streets still called them. So I'm not saying all people, but I place this more on the parents or actually stop having sex just because they feel good and have sex to point to meet better people. So you take notice, your Caucasian people, they go, not all of them, like I said, not all, but the ones that are in power, they have kids, and then their kids is raised to take over the family business. At what point do we say, okay, you know what, as black people or rocking people of people that of color that you're going to choose to use, when do we step to the point and say, you know what, we're going to take charge of our own?
Okay.
We can't
so,
do that.
So what do you think? What could be more taking charge of your own than creating your own government? How much
okay,
more can
doing,
you show?
That's doing
how
too
much.
Much.
More,
I thought that's
why,
doing
why,
too much.
Why would you feel that's doing too much when you saying you want us to take control of our own and take control of our destiny, basically, but as long as we stay in the jurisdiction of America, we're always going to be disenfranchised. There's going to be some of us that's going to be okay, and then others are going to be wanderers. And the thing is, is, for me, this is my view. My view is, like, look, you got people, like you said, if the education was so great, we wouldn't have as many people doing the things that they're doing. I mean, you got to realize that the education is part of the problem based on what they're teaching and what they're not teaching. If you've been taught a bunch of
lies, regardless of their teaching, is putting these corporate businesses in work, or putting these people in jobs. The more that we sit here and say, and debate with that, that's not getting us nowhere. Where is that getting us? Saying the education system is not working. It's not working because of the attitudes that go to these schools. These attitudes we allow our kids to have when we let them go to these schools. Not urging the kids can't go to school and really do the work because why? Peer pressure, fights, games, drugs.
Where do you think that came from, Dre? Right. Where it came from?
You should put a gun on my kitchen table.
Huh?
And I should come home so stressed out. And you should turn to a gun right on my kitchen table. Just because I'm stressed out, that don't mean I should pick that gun up and blow my brains out. You should put that gun there as many times as you want. So every time I come home, I'm not going to pull that trigger.
Okay, now.
Be serious to do that.
Right. Now, this is what you're basing it on. You're basing it on you as an individual. This is because individuals, yeah, we have choices. And we know that based on our individuality, that people have different tolerance, different levels, and different understandings on how they react in different situations. You know? So because you won't grab that gun, how many people have you heard that has killed themselves? Young people have killed themselves. You know, since we're speaking about that, young people that have killed themselves.
Yeah, but I use that as a metaphor to where you're saying that the drugs was given to us to sell. They bring the drug. They bring the drugs in. Okay, I understand that. But the same ones that touch these guns and sell these drugs are the same ones that we're talking about that are not making it through the school system.
Okay, all right. Use me as an example, Dre. I sold drugs, and
look, what
I graduated.
We are today.
But see, listen to what I'm saying to you. This is the thing. This is what I'm saying to you, that I was a drug dealer. I did sell drugs, and I graduated from school. So, but everybody don't do that. So just to say, okay, and I was a victim. I was a victim and didn't even know I was a victim. You know why I started selling drugs? Not because I didn't have food to eat or a place to lay my head. I started selling drugs because by the time I was like 13, 12, I wanted to get a job, and now I wasn't able to get a job. And I used to be at Pathmark at the time carrying people bags to get money. And one day I carried this lady's bags, two bags from Pathmark all the way to Park Ave, and she gave me a nickel. And after that, I said, man, I got to find a better way to get me some money. And that's what turned me to drugs. So you looking at what people doing, you're not looking at why people do what they do. And you're taking it from that point of view.
All of us are so drugs in our life. I have too. Most of us have sold drugs in our life. I have too. My reason for selling drugs is because I live in an environment where either you're one of them or you're against them. So I had no choice.
Hold up what you just said. You what?
I was raised in an environment where either you went.
No, the last part, the last thing you just said. The last thing you said. What you just, the last part you just said.
We first on the news.
You said you had no choice. That's what you just said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You, based on where you was at in your environment, you felt at that time like you had no choice. So you just said that people have a choice. So depending on the predicament and the environment, you feel as though you don't have no choice. So that's what I'm talking about. Why?
Yeah, bro, I'm not sitting here blaming the education system because of my choice.
But the bottom line, you said you had no choice at first. So thing is, here's an education system.
Oh, but that's a system. That's not the point of me saying I don't have a choice.
Right.
Oh, that's more on a livelihood, like a safety issue. Either you want to win or you get robbed. Who tells you all these?
Okay, so you don't think you don't think that still exists? That people still feel like you felt back then?
It's a lot more opportunity out here, man. I'm sorry, it's just a lot more opportunity out here.
It depends on
how you were born. If you're one of those babies that came from two people just like my sex, or you want your babies that came from two parents that said, okay, I want to have a baby. You know what? When my baby gets born, you're preparing a life for him. It's a difference. If you get born here from two parents that just wanted to have sex, and they got nothing to offer you, but love is okay, but I wish my mama had sex for me. I wish she had a business inside. At least gave me a good start. So I think we need to push more on people that's having sex, that's creating these babies. So we lost already.
Okay,
this is not the babies.
Okay. I agree with you. Now, this is why I say with the school, because at the end of the day, when you go into school and you're learning about people that don't look like you and things that's not going to really help you be able to function in the society as a extraordinary individual. You basically learning how to be average, to fall in line and be like the average person. Get a job, go to work, and then, you know, die. That's what you're basically learning. Some people, it's always exceptions to every rule. Now, the thing is, okay, you're talking about sex. What did they do? They pull that type of stuff. They don't want to teach that in school, sex education. They don't want to teach that in school anymore. Why? It's a reason for it, because they want what's happening to happen. America. I say America. I'm going to stop saying they. America. So if that's the case, we got to stop, like, romanticizing America's crappy attitude towards us as a people and towards society in general, you know? So until we stop romanticizing that and look at it for what it is and say, look, okay, let's be on the equal playing field. That's the only way I can really see that we get the type of changes that you really talking about. And mind you, until that happens, sure, we got to work on it. We got to work on ourselves individually and as a collective. But I personally don't have the faith in America because I see it from policies and certain things that were put in place, and it's documented, that put us at a disadvantage, and that's not changing. And why would they change it when it's working so well?
All right, one more thing on this topic real quick. The same Caucasian kids and black kids go to the same school and get the same education. So how are we saying that what they're teaching in school is not working? It's these white kids are growing up to be doctors and lawyers and things like that, but we rarely send in school. And
okay.
my second point is the one thing that I do agree with is that it's a lot of things in school that they should be teaching, like entrepreneurs. They don't teach you how to trade. You know, they don't teach you how to do the stocks and bonds and things like that. You know, I do agree with that. They're not teaching enough. It does. The education system needs an upgrade. Yes, but I can't say it's not working because it's just not working for the children here that either can't pay attention because school is not just a learning place anymore. School is a social media meeting place. So it's another thing that causes our kids not to learn. Peer pressure, social media, that a lot of that instead affects our kids just going through. But we go to work and we just get our kids off to school, we just think, go to school and learn. It's not that simple at all.
Okay. And listen what you said. We go to work and drop our children off at school. We get off of work, we're tired, we done worked. Now, our children need some attention, but based on the job, depending on what type of job we do, and as you said, if we have two-parent families and we know that statistically that's not really happening too well because we haven't even mastered relationships. And we haven't mastered relationships because we haven't mastered communication. And if the schools was doing so well, then our communication skills would be better and we would be able to master relationships because we'll be good communicators. So, as I said, there's an exceptions to all the rules every time, but there's proof to what I'm saying based on the way the society is today. If the schools were doing so well, then we'd have more entrepreneurs, we'd have less crime, and we'd have more unity as a country, not just as people being in separate tribes or separate races or separate ethnicities sticking together. So this, my personal belief is the schools are failing, and they need to be
You have to do the work that it takes the school to teach you. You can't be cutting classes.
What does the school teach you? What is the school teaching, Dre? What is the school teaching you? Really, tell me.
The same thing they've been teaching for years.
That's exactly my point. The same thing has been teaching for years when you got a whole new generation, a whole new mindset that needs to be learning differently from the same way they've been teaching for years. That's my point.
And I just said that. That's what I just said. I said that. You heard what I just said. That's what I said. It should be upgraded, yes, but that doesn't mean that it's not working.
School is about consistency. School is teaching us responsibility. School is prepping you. That's just like as a young kid.
You want to talk?
As a young kid, you send your kids to daycare for what? To learn how to interact with others. When we go to school, it's not always about the subject. It's about consistency. It's about that child getting up every day, going to school, learning responsibility.
To get prepared for work. To go to work. To get prepared to go to get a job.
To prepare to know what is going to, what they're going to have to encounter.
A job. I mean, come on, take the coat off it. That's what it's preparing you for. If you're getting up from like 7 to 4 or 7 to 3, it's preparing you to be on you know, to be on the whole stroke, to put you on the whole stroke.
Parent, what age you are, as I say all the time, your child and the parent goes through growing stages. Because depending on when you become a parent, if you're responsible, that is going to overflow and be a domino effect to the child. So we all going through growing pains.
Well, did you hear what she said?
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, she basically see it like to some degree with the school. Me, like I said, not so much. You know what I mean? Not so much. And even before I came into the information that I received, I was already cynical when it comes to America, because I see the disadvantages that happens to all right, like let's do it like this. Okay, we had a black mayors, we had a black president. We had black congressmen, black senators. Now, how many black governors have we had that you know of?
Do we know
where is two-parent household?
Okay, so that's part of the reason. Listen what I'm saying. Part of the reason you don't see the two-family households is because the people that are in charge, so to speak, don't motivate our children to aspire to be in certain places, because at the end of the day, they see so few of us doing certain things, so they gravitate towards what they see the majority of us doing. And a lot of that is on the negative side. So my personal reason is like, okay, having our own government, they get to see their own people running their own government, which changes their state of mind. They now instead of wanting to be a drug dealer, now they want to be a state official.
Hold on one second, Sal. I got a couple of people want to say something. 1298, you live.
Hey, Jay Sean. I hope all is well. All is well. Hey, Shadi.
Hey, what's up, Victoria?
What's up, Victoria?
All is well. So, my question is, I hear y'all having just a general conversation about different things, but what did I have to do with him speaking about him having a moment today being depressed? How can we help him?
Silence is golden, isn't it?
Well, hey, now you're speaking, Mr. Leon. Give us some feedback.
I just want to say Grand Rising to everybody on the line, and I come in peace. I'm going to touch on what Latoya said first. Jay, you know, whatever you may go through, brother, you know my line is open 24/7, yo. You got my number, you can call me 24/7, yo. Because I've been in deep, dark places such as yourself, no matter what the reason is. And I was one of them people who had a gun in my head a couple of times, so I know how deep it can get. The fact of the matter is Most High is still working because both of us, Jay, are still here. But I don't want you to ever have to go in that spot and think that you're by yourself, because you're not, brother. I live in pain and silence every day. You know, and I often say we all wear masks, you know, covering up what it is that we really going through or what we really done. And so for me, brother, I was concerned in the beginning of the show when you told me that you was depressed and you said that you got some pills that's going to make you sleep and you was drinking with it. Right then and there, I was concerned. Most definitely. So you know how it is. You know what it is between me and you, brother. And
I know.
For everything else, you know, that I've heard of here, all three of y'all, and it was a blessing to hear another goddess chime in and give her point of view. You just don't get that type of reaction sometimes up here. So I was kind of shocked. Both of y'all, all y'all got good points when it comes to that, but it was all about Jay. For me, it was all about Jay. For me, the charm into anything that either one of y'all said up here about this, that, or the third, you know, I would say all y'all had good points. But then, you know, you can always come in and say what your opinion is, or you can always come and make a point. I think everybody had a point in their own way. So for me, you know, I'm just not going to spend time, you know, going there. But you know what? Out of the whole conversation that all y'all had, you know what I was more interested in? When Jay said that Obama's wife is supposed to be running. And so for me, you know, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard nobody say it yet. I'm just going to wait to see when it comes, you know, or if it comes, you know. All I can say is here we go again if it's true. You know, so, but otherwise than that, you know, Jay, my line is open to you, my brother. I got much love for you, brother.
You know,
I got much respect for you now.
You know how we do.
Yes, sir, brother.
Thank you. Look, we got to hold on one second, everybody. Hold on 1 second. I don't see the number, but you live.
Yeah, hi. This is Solution. Are we connected?
Hey, what's up, Mr. Solution?
Yeah. Hey, how are you, sir? I had gotten engrossed in some computer repair here. But look here, I was listening to Shadi, and he was making some good points, but just to really get it stirred up a lot more, as it should be, he has to put the onus on the parents. The parents are the primary educators of the children. And additionally, whatever the school is teaching, the parents have oversight. So if the schools aren't teaching what the parents want their children to learn, then, of course, they need to supply their input. And I would say you need at least 5 to 10 other people. And just as a proof text that this is true, parents may homeschool their children to make sure they get all the education that they need. And the state has a criterion that they will gauge that by. And, I mean, the parents can, like I say, they can educate their kids to give them whatever education they need. And I have found in my circuit of life is that kids that are homeschooled tend to be exceptionally well-educated. Also, those who attend, you know, like Catholic school, for example, they tend, that's like a preparatory school for university. But the bottom line is that parents are the primary educators. The teachers just act as assistants. So I think if that's held in view and if that is taken seriously, parents would get much, much, much more involved in their children's education. And just one other point, and I hope you have some feedback on this. I've seen situations where parents have camped out on certain school lots, as it were, school grounds, to make sure that their children got into those schools. So some schools, obviously all schools aren't created, you know, equally, but the point is that the parents have a primary oversight of whatever type of education their children get, and they can't dump that responsibility off on anyone else. It's their responsibility. Anyway, I don't know what feedback you have to that, but I've been in the school system for years. I've been a mentor to all different, you know, socioeconomic classes of children. And I tell you, the parents make the difference, even if the kids are in public school. Public schools can do a decent job with parental monitoring, both of the child and of the system itself. So that's my response to what Shadi was saying.
Mr. Solutions, did you? Because I heard you, you know, the first thing I want to say is Happy New Year's to you. It's the first time I heard your voice since the New Year came in.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, what I want to ask you is, because I heard you say a couple things, and I agree, ladies and gentlemen, I agree with what he said to the response to what Sadiq said. But, sir, let me ask you a question. This is just a yes or no question so I can move forward. Did you work for a private school or a public school?
No. The company that I worked for, I was the liaison between the school and, like, I've mentored in Magnum schools, et cetera. But it was my company that – go ahead.
So that means I got you. I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it was kind of like a community outreach thing. You know how some companies have community outreaches, and thus I was part of that. So I got to go out to Career Day and really tutor and mentor the young people. It's a very exciting function, by the way. I mean,
right? But did you work in the building every day, all day? Year in, year out. Did you work in the building?
Wait a minute. In which building, sir?
In any school. District.
Oh, no. I was a
okay.
visitor to each school
okay.
that
I
frequented.
So,
I was a visitor.
So listen. Let me comment on what you said.
Sure.
To what Sadiq said. Here's the thing, sir. You're right. But here we got to go back. Because, listen, you are right. It starts at home. It starts with the parents. Here's what I learned from working in the school system for 4 years, Mr. Solutions, and I mean in the building, year in, year out, coaching basketball, doing life-skill classes in the building. Here's the thing. The thing is this. You got some of the parents didn't even know what they was doing. And when we started having kids, when our kids started having kids, for us, around the way, that made it even worse. Because a lot of the parents don't even know themselves because their parents didn't teach them anything. So you're right about what you're saying, but you got to go back a little bit farther. And that's not everybody. That's just some people, because I always hear people say about two-parent homes. And you know what else you was right about, sir? You definitely was right about homeschooling our kids. But if you can't even, if you're illiterate yourself, there's no way you can homeschool your kids. And see, that was part of the problem, is that a lot of the parents didn't know. That's how everything gets lost in the sauce, you know, around the way, per se.
Right. I agree
so
with
we,
you.
So, listen. So what you said was, about going to school and homeschooling. Some of those kids, you're right, they are. But socially, you know, they're disconnected. That's where we get Jeffrey Dahmer from. People like
well,
him.
Well, not always now. Let me comment on something you
said
before
I said that. No, I said that. I said not everybody.
Okay.
And I did not always, but I said in the hood, the problem comes from around the way in the neighborhood is that you have parents that's illiterate. And then
some of
their grandparents is illiterate. You understand what I'm saying? So the kids is already lost. They only stand a chance from the opening bell. You know, so go ahead. I want to hear what you had to say before you forget.
Yeah, well, you know, we discussed this extensively, and, you know, researchers come in and we talk about this, and I'll just give you the condensed version, and it's this. And I brought up some of these ideas because there are a lot of things that play here. And vanity, in addition to what you said, certain people being uneducated. But don't misrepresent, and I'm not saying you per se, but don't misrepresent people who are uneducated, because that doesn't mean that they don't know what to do, at least in the younger generation, and that they can't provide really good guidance. So the other thing is in some of these schools that they, academies, this sort of thing, they pay, the parents are paying like sometimes like $50,000, $47,000, $50,000. It's probably more now since COVID. But this is like preparatory school for their kids. And I was having a discussion with an educator, and we were talking about some of the kids getting, the young women getting prematurely pregnant and this. And I threw this at her or submitted this to her. Well, in these schools where the parents pay this grandiose amount of money, the girls don't get pregnant. So a couple of things emerged from that conversation. Expectation. Those girls in those schools, academies, what have you, they know that that won't be tolerated. So they don't get pregnant. I think some of them are having sex. I don't think all of them are virgins, but they make sure they don't get pregnant. So additionally, schools and parents could offer young people incentives not to get pregnant. In other words, pay them not to get pregnant. I guarantee you, if there was an incentive program like that, now I'm not saying they wouldn't have sex, some of them would, but they damn sure wouldn't get pregnant. It would drop almost to zero. And some people now have objected to that. They say, well, you shouldn't have to pay kids to do the right thing. I've said, well, wait a minute. That's what the whole system, like Shadi was saying, the whole system is based on reward. And I think he really nailed it, if I heard him correctly, when he said that, and I'm not going to use his exact words, I'll use my words, school is preparatory ultimately for an occupation where one is able to trade their labor for remuneration or a remittance, for money, in other words. So our whole system is, and there's nothing wrong with giving kids an allowance. You know, I don't think you should just give them money just to give it to them. I think they should have chores that they do. And possibly get a job, if it doesn't interfere with their schoolwork. But the whole point, the whole gist of what I'm saying is that if you paid young people, like young women, not to get pregnant. That would give them self-esteem. They would have something to look forward to, i.e. money. That's a great motive and motivator. And think of how many people go to their jobs every day that they hate. What the hell are they going to work for? Money. That's what they're going to work for. So young people would be a lot more responsible if they were getting some incentive, monetary incentive. Now, what do you think about that? Because we pay either way. Society pays either way. They pay in EBT and these other welfare handouts, or you could pay the young woman early on and pay the young man. You could pay both of them. And I bet you they would be a hell of a lot more responsible. Go ahead.
Can I just want to make sure that we wasn't. You can do that.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure in the beginning of his conversation that he was talking about we was part of a survey. But go ahead, Shadi.
No, I want to, direct this to Jay, when LaToya said that, it was about Jay. So I want to say some things to Jay about it because I touched on it briefly, but I didn't, give him any input on, how he could deal with the anxiety. All right. You hear Jay? Hello? Jay, you on the phone? You on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So the first thing I want to say is normally when you're going through your episode, do you practice, the deep breathing to relax yourself?
I talk to myself.
Okay.
So
that's the other thing where, in the future, try to practice some deep breathing in and out. You know what I mean? Strive to relax yourself. The other thing is, you already about doing it. It's challenging the negative thoughts. By, saying to yourself, is this realistic? Is this real what I'm thinking? Is this a reality, or am I just letting my thoughts run away with me? Why are you thinking when you think along that line? The other thing is, have you identified your triggers? Have you identified what triggers you to go into anxiety mode? Have you identified those?
The therapist likes to ask that question too. He likes to say, you got to know what triggers your anxiety.
Right.
But I really haven't figured that out yet, what triggers it.
Okay.
I think most of my problems, like I'm a Virgo, I don't know if that means a lot to a lot of people, but we overthinkers. A lot of my anxiety come from overthinking situations. And like you said earlier, didn't let your mind, get the best of you.
All right. So the other suggestion is, strive to start managing your thoughts, managing your thoughts, that's something that you can strive to do, get in a habit of meditating, thinking about one thing, what I'm saying? Thinking about one thing, find something that you could think about and just strive to focus on that so that you get, you learn how to, manage your thoughts and rein in your feelings. And prioritizing your time by, taking, what I mean by that is by, not allowing your time to be utilized in a manner where it's not productive to you, where you're able to do what you need to do first and go down from that, and not allow like other people to say, oh, Jay, I need you this, that, and the other. So you're all over the place. And instead of being able to prioritize, well, I'm going to do this first. Look, I can't do this for you now. I got to take some self time. I got to do this, that. Do you do that?
No, but I need to.
Okay, so so those just some suggestions that, you know, that I wanted to offer to you, you know, because, you know, one of my jobs was I was a, you know, counselor, clinician type thing, but, you know, my passion for us as a people made me overlook, you know, you and your anxiety. And, you know, I apologize for that. Up for that. I'm offering you those strategies that you could utilize in the future to try to minimize the anxiety when it comes the next time.
Yeah, thanks, man. Because a lot of people don't know that anxiety is real. You know, anxiety, depression. A lot of people don't know that stuff is real, but it's really real. And a lot of people deal with it. You know, some people commit suicide. I mean, it breaks up families, it breaks up homes. It's really something, man. But I appreciate that. And a lot of stuff, what you said, is, you know, it's stuff that my therapist say. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, like I said, man, you got a therapist as a friend too. So, you know what I'm saying? As a brother, you're one of your brothers is a therapist. So if you need me, as Leon said, I'm here, brother. You know what I'm saying? I'm only a phone call away. And if you need, and if you need to get away, jump on the train because you're scared of the plane and come see me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, all right. Yeah. I appreciate that. And from the thoughts from Latoya. Latoya and
Yeah,
Lina.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah,
I just
wanted
to even bring it back to where it started off at, how you shared your heart. And we all need to pay attention to when a person is talking, they're speaking about it, and they pain, we need to really focus and pay attention. I mean, the conversation y'all was having, it was great. Great inputs, great conversation, but the whole point, he did share his heart. And no one, Shadi, you did comment, you did talk about it, but it just went straight into something else. I'm like, what happened?
Well,
so what I'm just saying, in general, when we hear someone's filling their heart out, let's pay attention.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And we need the women to rein us in sometimes. And to my defense, I heard part of it, but I had stepped out of the room for a minute, so I didn't hear you know, the rest of it. So I didn't, you know how deep it was. But the fact that you took the time to bring it back, you made me realize how serious it must have been. So that's why I, you know, offered, you know, my advice. So to let him know he's not overlooked.
And you know what's strange about that is that most of the time, like people like Latoya or Leon, most of the time people on the outside just looking in, a lot of times won't even say nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like Leon didn't have to say nothing, or Latoya didn't have to say nothing. Because, I mean, you like, to me, when you're going through it, it's a flicker. It's like a certain time in your life. So, like, when we first started the show and I was talking like that, I was in a different zone. But like right now, I'm not even in that zone. So to me, it's like wow, like I hear Leon and I hear LaToya, but to me, it's like I don't even remember, you know. I remember, but I don't feel like I felt when I was talking about it. But that's the severity of the illness, that people become detrimental to themselves or suicidal to themselves. And in one flicker or one sudden moment, you feel suicidal. And we can't prove it, or we don't know, because nobody who did never came back to life. But I'm sure people who have committed suicide was in a certain time, was in a certain situation, a certain moment. And when they did that, and if they would have just took one, you know, if they would have just took, like Shadi said, if they would have just took time to take 10 deep breaths or time to just think for a minute, they would still be alive today. So, like, I understand it. I really understand, like, Leon or LaToya bringing us back around to the show like that. And I understand everybody else, because, you know, on this show, we spin like that. We start off with one thing, and we end up talking about something else. You know, that's why I did that.
That's why when I came on to the show, I changed the vibe, because I knew I needed to get you out. You know, I know you really well. And when I came in here, I started talking about, you know, depression to get you out that mindset. Because, you know, depression is something deep, and I also deal with that. You know what I'm saying? And the first thing I want someone to do is get that off my mind first, not really drill into it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, that's true. I forgot you the one came and changed the narrative of it.
It's my job. Yeah.
And one of the things also that's you need to do when you're dealing with it is, which you did, is speak about it. You know what I mean? The chance of speaking about it, getting it off your chest. So you were able to do that. That helps too. That was the other thing that, you know, I meant to say. But because you did it, I kind of overlooked it. But, yeah, you know, we basically tonight was your support group that gave you a platform to let it out. So instead of holding it in into your mind. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's basically true. That's another form of how you, you know, get rid of it too. Get, you know, work through it, not get rid of it, work through it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that too.
Yeah, we appreciate
you. If more people was like that, the world would be better.
Absolutely.
I really, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of show I had tonight. I can't even believe it's 10:21 because I started on a whole different lane, and like we wound up talking about some of everything, and then it came back full circle to what we started talking about. Now I know a lot of people out there, they like, this ain't the average show. You know what I mean? But it's a positive show.
Yeah.
That's the point of it. It's positive. That's why I said earlier in the show, like, black media matters. We don't think it really matters, but every one of these podcasts that's being done by a black person or African American person or a Moroccan person, as Shadi say, it all matter, because NBC and CBS and all the mother networks, they just programming in our brain what they want us to know. And trust me, the United States brainwash you with the media, with the news. Whatever they want you to know, think or feel or do or something, they put it in on the news, and they know we gonna suck it up and we gonna eat it up. They gonna put the COVID out here, and then they gonna put a vaccination for all of us to take. Then they got another booster and another booster, and now they got some other stuff coming out. You know what they're going to do? I said this in the first 15 minutes of the show. I said the COVID was just a test run. They got stuff coming now, more viruses and everything. And you know what they're going to do? They're gonna put another virus out here to kill a lot of people, and then they're going to bring another vaccine. And if the disease, the virus don't get you, the vaccine will. We got to start paying attention to a lot more than what we paying attention to. I'm telling
you,
it's in the air.
You know, so, I mean, based on what you said, just the fact that you see that and you feel what you feel, do you really think if Michelle Obama become the president, that's going to change the outcome of what you just talked about?
that's the question Dre asks us, right? I'm at the age now, and I'm intelligent enough to know it don't matter if Michelle Obama's the president, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. It don't matter who the president. We have to know and understand that the president don't call no shots. He's just the president. He's just in the forefront. He's just the person that we say is the president. The president cannot do nothing. He can't push no buttons and declare no war. He cannot do nothing unless it's approved by other people. So whether Michelle Obama is the president or whoever is the president, whatever, it's nothing they could do without the approval of other people. So why I'm saying that is, no, I don't think it would be no better if she was the president. I don't think it would be no better if Biden is the president, if Trump is the president. I think we got to make it better ourselves, and I'm talking about within each home, each neighborhood, each community, each state. We got to make it better. And I'm not just talking about black people. I'm talking about whoever need to get it together, get it together. That's what I'm talking about, whoever. You know what I mean? But I'm black, but I will say black. But I'm just saying whoever.
It's got to start with us.
Yeah, we got to start with us. I like to hear people talking about the black on black crime, and then people be like, "Oh, you can't talk about what somebody else doing to us unless you talk about what we doing to ourselves."
And the reality is, and the reality is, we're not the first to do that. Every other nationality that came here, why do you think the RICO law came into effect? You know what I mean? Italians was gang banging, Irish was gang banging, Jews was gang banging. So everything that was being done by us now, at some point, was being done by other ethnicities. Your
key word was large. And right now, we're the more dominant species when it comes to black pride, because it got to the point where narrative, you got people killing people and going into a music video about it. And going on live TV telling how many times they killed people. And you know, a dude that's been telling how he killed Tupac on every network. I hope he rolled up on him. I gave old boy the gun. He pulled the trigger. He a great dancer in the car. And he just gone to jail after 25 years, but he's been saying 20 years.
I mean,
it's a lot. We have to start within ourselves. We got to stop somehow. And the only way we're going to stop is when we really see the aliens. If we really see our alien and we really see our UFO, then we're going to all come together. But it's going to take a tragedy for us to come together. And that's sad.
I mean, the thing is, we already what you keep overlooking is that there are individuals who are really striving to do just that, bring us together on a note where we get the chance to determine our destiny.
It's not the right people, though. I hear you, but it's not the right people that are doing it.
I mean, at the end of the day, who's to say who's the right people that's doing it? Who would be the right people to do it? The rappers?
The people that got our children. People that got our children under their spell right now.
Okay, so now the people that got our children under their spell is being pimped by America. They ain't nothing but hoes right now. They being pimped because what? They want fame. They want money. They didn't have certain things, so they're doing whatever they need to do or think they need to do for those material things.
It's too much social media out here. It's too much. At the end of the day, you don't really need the music industry no more. Now you got TikTok. You got all these platforms. You really don't need a record deal. And most of these dudes that's talking crazy, especially from Chicago, they don't have music deals. They're just random independent artists.
Okay, remember what Jay said? They already programmed. So they programmed, the record company don't need to do it now because the programming is already live and well. So, and because of the mindset, they could put something like that up, shoot them, kill them, hump them, and it could go viral quicker than me talking about coming together and building states. Yeah, it's a mindset that has to be reined in, and it's going to take time. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to change it overnight. It's going to take consistency and persistency. We're going to have to be consistent and persistent because based on my life, I've seen the transition. I've seen the change. We weren't always in this state. That this happened over a few decades, from the 80s, 90s to now, and it was deliberately done. It wasn't like no accident. This was strategic, and I bear witness. So that's why I talk the way that I talk, because I bear witness to seeing how it happened. I don't have to read it in no book. I don't have to see it in no magazine, and I don't have to watch it on no screen. I've seen how it happened. So it's just some things that's going to have to be undone. And first, we got to start seeing ourselves differently. We got to look at ourselves as better and more than what we've been. We've accepted being mediocre. We've accepted being second, third, fourth class. We've accepted that. Long as we got some money in our pocket, and long as many of us got, you know, some nice clothes and something to get high off, we good. You know what I'm saying? So there's some work that has to be done, and it's going to take time, and it's going to take persistency, and it's going to, at some point, it's going to have to be the harsh truth in a manner, and it's going to have to be strategic, because we've been manipulated and didn't even know it. You know, we've been played. We've been gamed. We've been being pimped, and we don't even know it. So that has to be exposed, and that's going to have to be exposed in a real strategic way.
Yeah, Shadi.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted some comments on what I said. Now, you brought up the issue of teenage pregnancy in schools. But you didn't give a solution or a suggested resolution to it. You just brought it up, put it on the table as a problem. So
when I brought up basically getting pregnant, I'm saying I didn't bring it up to a manner of just the schools. I brought it up that they're not teaching the education and these children are getting pregnant, but ultimately your view on it was a decent view. You know, I agree with what you said about it, and there's other ways to combat it, and that's really going to take being more educated when it comes to relationships and when it comes to parenting in general, and all that's gonna have to take place with learning how to communicate better, because part of the reasons young girls are getting pregnant is because there's a lot of, whether we realize it or not, there's a decent amount of single parent homes, and girls are learning how to interact with boys via just in the streets. They're not dealing with father figures to understand how they should conduct themselves amongst men. And
right,
men in the fathers, you know, so the ultimate switch to change this is that even if two people cannot actually live in the household,
yes,
they're going to have to, they need to learn how to co-parent so that both parents be able to play the part in the children's lives. I'm going to agree with you,
and then I'm going to double down. I agree with you, education on this particular topic, you said sex education, is very important. But see, look, I'm going to say it this way. Anyone who wants to improve themselves has to have a plan. They have to have a definitive plan and a checklist. What I need to do, the time frame I need to do it in, and get it done. All right. I agree with you on the educational front, of course. I would never disagree with that. Secondarily, and let's just be real, $10,000. $5,000 between $5,000 and $10,000. That's what a young woman is looking at if she graduates at 18, 17, you know, some of them can go to
college during summer school and actually graduate earlier. So 17, 18, she has $5,000, $10,000 waiting on her. How many of them out of 100 do you think would get pregnant?
Yeah, I think the numbers would be low.
Low is because they have an incentive. But go ahead.
Right.
I just want, my position is this. If I have a problem, I deal with it. And that's the way I think people should be. I mean, hit it head on, take the problem out, because there'll probably be another problem, right? So I'm just saying that this problem of teenage pregnancy could be addressed affirmatively and taken care of. The same thing with education. But the parents would have to be on board. And a good way to get people on board is to shame them. Shame works.
So when you was talking earlier, in the beginning of your conversation, you said you brought up that the company that you work for will come in and they will do a report. That's like surveying us, right? That's like putting us in a survey. Why don't you letting us know that we're in a survey? They've been surveying us, right?
No, I was the representative. I did what needed to be done.
Right, but that was surveying us, though, right? That was coming into our school district and surveying us.
Yeah, and participating. It was like a liaison participating. You know, because once schools, it's in schools' interest to be in
touch with you. You can name it what you want, but it's surveying us. That's what it's doing. It's surveying our kids.
I'm not fighting with you. I'm simply making a point. Everything could be considered a type of survey. Survey is just oversight, observation, this sort of thing.
It's just another word that they use. But when you're not conscious enough or educated enough to know the difference. So no, sir, I'm not here to argue with you. I just want you to clarify what you said a little bit more clear so people that may not be as educated as you understand that.
Right, and that's fine.
That's all I wanted to make clear. That's it.
It's a type of survey amongst other things. But it's also being very social, gregarious. You know, we're like herding animals. Human beings are intrinsically social, right? And so the schools want this contact. Because, look, some of the schools that I've gone to, and these are schools of all ilks, unless the parents are very involved, the students and the teachers kind of see themselves as the same. They're kind of like isolated. And then when the school has an opportunity to open it up to outsiders, and then the students can get a chance to interact with outsiders, what they're doing is no longer in isolation. So they're getting to see what people who are on the outside, how they have achieved success. One of the things that the kids were just rip-roaring to know, how much money do you make? All kids, all of them, regardless of their ethnicity, they want to know how much money you make. Why do you think they want to know that? Because that's important. That's similar to what Shadi said earlier. They're being trained. I'm going to use the word career. I think he said get a job. A job is fine, and sometimes jobs are incorporated within a career. But a career is more comprehensive than a job, and it has better benefits. So, I love interacting with young people. They have fresh minds. You know, their minds are flexible, and many of them, they listen. They're intrigued. An adult, a tall, adult comes there and speaking to them, they eat it up. They love that. Go ahead.
When we talk like this, when we speak like this, it's always good to have, for me, You know why I said? Because it's always good for me to hear both sides and how the other side thinks from the way we came up and how we think. And they also get to hear how we think. But when they come into our school system, people, you have to know what you're listening to and survey us like that. They survey us on the questions that you know, they may come across, they may ask you. But one of the things about the surveys that they do, they don't even tell you that you're being surveyed. They bring these different programs in here, and really, you don't even know that you're being surveyed. And that's how they deal with us. Throughout, they've been doing that since the beginning of time. You know, new, it's just different. The way they do it different, they're doing it smarter. They can't do it outright like they did before. They have to do it a little bit smarter. But, you know, it fits into a lot of stuff. Dre said too, you know, Shadiq said, and Mr. Solution said, you know, for me, you know, where we come from and where I came from, I was always taught by my parents. But you had different teachings. You had everybody. I don't know nobody on this line that when they were coming up, their parents didn't teach them the alphabet or their numbers. That was starting at home right there. By the time you got to school, you need your colors, you need your numbers, you need your alphabet. You knew a couple other things, too, if your parents was of the conscious community. But back in the 60s, you know, we didn't have that consciousness like that back in the 60s, from where I came from. And in the 80s, it was full-fledged, you know, it was all out war.
We definitely have to do
a whole lot better as the people. And it don't matter to me if in the hood that you had a European kid is a kid to me. I didn't see colors when it came to kids. Because I know the adults don't even care. And some of the adults, they don't care because they're too busy. They're in a struggle. You know, people living second by second. They're living second by second. So I'm just saying, you know, I think everybody has valid points on here. The conversation has been shifted and changed so many different times in the merits of this conversation, but it always came back to this right here. And you know, you guys, Dre started it off. He said what his reasons was. Me, myself, I know what it's like to have a gun in my head. And so when I'm in that, breathing ain't going to work for me. You see what I'm saying? And I know when Dre started talking about talking to himself, that's what I was talking about. When you're in that mode right there, that talking to yourself, call me. You know, don't just talk to yourself, call me. So when Dre changed the conversation up, he changed it up because he didn't want Jay in that mode. Me, myself, I'm not negating none of it. And I'm not negating none of the conversations that you got when you changed the conversation, Dre, and it went to Shadiq, and then, you know, I came in, solutions came in, you know. I think everybody makes valid points. And when we can walk away as kings, we can walk away as kings and as men without it coming contentious. That's the only thing else that matters to me up here.
Yeah, and let me just say, my comment was on what Shadi said. And Shadi made some excellent points, but I'm going to enlarge up on one of the points that he made. But I'm going to recommend this. It's a game. It's called Cash Flow, right? It stems from Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So I encourage you guys to get that game and play it with your kids. It's very important that your kids learn this sort of stuff. Also, if I heard Shadi correctly, and I think I did, is that he said the lack of money turned him to drug dealing when the lady gave him an insulting amount of money. It was just a very, very pittance, nothing. And he had done all of that work. Well, am I correct, Shadi? Correct me if I'm wrong.
That was one of the things that he said. But he said when he was 11 or 12, he wanted to work a job.
That's exactly what I'm saying. They need to start learning at about 5 or 6 or even before that. By the time they can talk and walk, they need to be being taught to read, reading to them. That's very important. In fact, I know how to make a genius, and it's not me. they know how to make a genius. You talk to the baby, play classical music to the baby while it's in the womb, right? And talk to it. Speak to it, not in baby talk. Forget that crap. Speak to them clearly in the best English you are able to speak. Don't speak crap to them because their brains are being rewired, literally, while they're in the womb. And even though they can't speak for, you know, a significant period of time, it'll catch up with them because their brains are already making these connections. But remember, cash flow, and I think that was very powerful what Shadi said. That was such an insult to him. He said, screw this, in essence. I'm going to find a more lucrative venture. And so I'm glad he got in and out of drugs because that's a very dangerous, savage type environment from what I understand. I mean, I see movies of it, and it seems to me that drug dealers are absolutely ruthless when it comes to their turf and this kind of stuff. But the point is, the upshot, what I drew from what Shadi said, is that money was a prime motivator. At what were you, Shadi, 11 at that particular time?
Yeah, around 11, 12. Yeah.
Ah, that speaks volumes, by the way. At least it did to me. Anyway, carry on.
Movies, but those movies that you watch, Solution, those movies that you said you watched on TV, most of us on this line lived that life. It wasn't a movie for us. Getting out of bed, whether you sold drugs or not, getting out of bed could have been dangerous where some of us have come from and how we grew up. So those movies you were watching was the life that some of us on this line was living, unfortunately. And that's why I like to, you know, break things down, you know, like the survey thing, you know, to make sure people understand what they're listening to. You know, so the two different worlds. We always talk about that up here. It's two different worlds. And, you know, when we first started talking about the two different worlds, it came combative. It ain't like that today. Shadi, you know what I'm talking about. We always going back and forth with Solutions. Solutions always going back and forth with us. Today, this is nothing but positivity up here. Whether you agree or not, it's nothing but positivity up here. And Dre started this. So Shadi was only responding to what Dre had said. The comments, just like you responded to what he said, now I'm responding to what you said or and everybody else. But this ain't been nothing but positive, you know, conversation. I'm just waiting on the Obama thing. I'm waiting on that. I'm just going to sit and I'm going to wait on that to see where that's going to go. You know, a lot of good conversation up here. Jay, you're right. The show did change. It always does.
A great show, I must say. Great conversation. Great dialogue. Great point.
To relate tomorrow at 8 to YouTube, Deep Game TV, tomorrow at 8. Tune in, guys.
Yes, sir, brother. Listen, brother. I'm learning so much. I don't get to come on, but the times that I've had, come on, brother. I'm learning, brother. I'm learning so much. You know, I'm coming up behind you, brother, on your shoulders. I'm letting you know.
Yes, sir. Whatever you
mean,
you,
so,
you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, only need two more, man.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, you know.
Yeah.
I
got you.
Right now,
I'm learning today.
I'm able to have a guest, so, you know, you can come
on. Do they got to be there with you?
No. I should be able to send you a link, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't tried it yet, so I want to try it. Dre and I are supposed to try it, so I'm going to, you know, try it with Dre. Once we do it, then I can reach out to you if it works.
If it don't work, reach out to me anyway, because if it don't work, I can tell you what to do to make it work.
Okay.
I'm telling you, brother. I'm following you. I've been studying. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
I ain't studying for nothing. I ain't start this for nothing. So I'm just letting you know.
Absolutely.
If it don't work, yeah, no, because I know what will work. But Dre is very savvy at what he do. I know that, you know, he'll work it out. But if not, give me a call, man, because I'm telling you, I've been looking up some things, brother. Trust me when I tell you. I'm coming up behind you, brother. Yeah. Go to that YouTube page. Go to my YouTube page. Watch how that thing is being. Watch how that's being built. Watch how it's built. At Eyes and Vision. Go there, Jay. Go there. Watch ID.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. So, great show. That's all I got to say, regardless.
Great show.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Sean, great show.
Mm-hmm. Dre, you still there? Dre, you still there? Dre, you still here? Okay, there you are. Tune down. Yeah.
I guess that's it. If they both
yeah.
offline.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. Jay did kick in one time. Yeah, I guess so.
I did like your video today. I put a like. I just ain't making a comment yet.
Oh,
but I did
okay.
like the video. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I actually did two today.
Oh, okay.
And another one too. Yeah.
Okay, I'll definitely take a look at that one as well.
I'll tap into it later.
Okay. All right.
I'll tap into it later. We'll reach out to you because I got another heavy show coming on too, brother.
All right, that's what's up.
The Monday and Wednesday, the 29th and the 31st.
Oh, okay.
Trust me. So. Yeah, Jay, you there? Jay Sean.
Call his phone.
Just call his phone. That'll wake him up. I don't be liking to leave, you know, and everybody left. And then the thing is still open like this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's positive words.
You back?
Yeah.
Jay, you back?
You back, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What you had there? Right. Went into a doze or something, man?
Probably.
That's all right, brother. We gonna step off. Everybody's getting off, man, because we ain't know how to shut the room down. So we was trying to work on getting in touch with you so you can shut the room down, brother.
Yeah, we gonna.
I don't think Dre's here because I called out for him. He didn't answer, so I don't think he's here.
Yeah, it's almost 11. We gonna shut it down. Before we do, I want to say, Leon, when is your show?
The 29th of this month here. That's a Monday at 7:20. It's another show about HIV and AIDS. STIs, trying to get to young people, trying to change their way of thinking when it comes
what,
to
what number
sex.
We
got to
call, you know?
520-525-8633. You know, grown folks talking, especially so. It's the King's Round Table. You know, come on out. That's going to be a heck of a show because the last one was a heck of a show. That's all I can tell you. And then I got a show on Wednesday also, my other network that I have, Eyes of a New Vision Support Group. It's for everybody. It ain't just for the people that are under the umbrella of vision loss. It's for everybody. It's definitely more for the sighted than it is for the blind. But I always keep that favorable too up there. You know, you got to go to that YouTube page, people, at Eyes of a New Vision. All one word, use the at symbol. You can see what we're doing up there, you know, Eyes and New Vision. we've been contacted there. So it's good. I'm moving slow with this. You know, I see this is how you're supposed to reach the world, so I'm trying to take my time to do it right. That's why I'm following SID. I don't get to go on the shows like I used to. That's because I got a lot of stuff going on offline, so I got to take care of that stuff first and then get back. But I've been following. I've been keeping up. Trust me, do what I tell you. So, yep, there you go. The other number, the Eyes of a New Vision support group is 520-8064. Come on in there. That's it. I'll try to bring a lot of information. Yeah, that's one. No, the 29th is grown folks. That's the King's Roundtable. The 31st is Eyes of a New Vision. I got a doctor coming on. You know, I got a doctor that's supposed to be coming on. He's going to talk about nothing but glaucoma. You know, I try to keep it informational. You see what I'm saying? All the time on these shows, man. You know, that's what it's about. So, for me, and it's about giving everybody else an opportunity like you do. You know, so, like Forrest does. So, the two shows I got coming up, they're going to be bangers, man. Trust me, the last sexual show I did, banger. That's all I can tell you. CDC put their stamp of approval on the video. So, you know, I'm trying to do some big things, man. Yeah.
That's what's up, man. Shadi, you want to promote anything?
Nah, I basically did already. I already promoted, you know, Peep Game TV, you know, tomorrow at 8 o'clock. YouTube.
Okay. All right, so we got to support each other. You know that.
Yes, sir. Yes,
we get ready. I'm getting ready. We've been out here for a long time. It's been a real different kind of show, but it's how they say that. What they say, secondary but necessary, something like that. But it really been an insightful show. I want to thank everybody who, you know, came out, Victoria, Shadi, Leon, Mr. Solution, and everybody else. It's really been a different kind of show, but that's the beauty of podcasts. It's not taped, it's not edited, it's live. And I'm sure a lot of people probably hung up because they didn't hear all that feeling jiving and two-stepping and arguing about who having sex with who, but still was a positive show. And that's what's important. So like everybody said, check out Leon's show and Shadi YouTube, and we'll be back next Friday, same time. And I know I kind of rained down on people sometime with my problems, but somebody said earlier, sometimes I guess people reach out for help even when they don't know they reach out for help. Or either when you're talking about something, that's therapy, even when you don't know it's therapy. But I feel good right now anyway. So we get ready to sign out. Everybody, once again, thanks for tuning in. Be here next Friday at the same time at 8 o'clock. Everybody, stay warm, stay healthy, stay blessed. And until next week, we out of here. Because you're running around. You're too busy. Like, you got to fit me into your schedule. I'm trying to follow my dreams. What about me? What about me? You don't listen to me no more? You don't listen to nothing I say? You're talking when I'm talking. Stop talking. I'm listening to you. Stop loud talking. You don't show no respect. Stop loud talking. Thank you.
Thank you.